A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Listen to me, you islands. Hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my mother's womb, he has spoken my name. He made my mouth like a sharpened sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver. He said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will display my splendor." But I said, "I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing at all. Yet what is due to me is in the Lord's hand, and my reward is with my God." And now the Lord says, "He who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself. For I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has been my strength." He says, "It is too small a thing for you to be my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth." This is what the Lord says, the Redeemer and Holy One of Israel, to him who was despised and abhorred by the nations, to the servant of rulers. Kings will see you and stand up. Princes will see and bow down because of the Lord, who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our New Testament reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus and our brother Sonesus, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you.
John testifies about Jesus. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave this testimony: "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one." The next day, John was there again with the two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent the day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is, the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. This is the Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
As I said at the beginning, we are in the season of Epiphany. On the first time when we discussed about Epiphany, wise men brought the news that the King of the Jews is born, a revelation, a sudden realization that the Messiah is born. This particular message came to now the people in the palace. It came to even King Herod. The Messiah is born, or the King of the Jews is born. Last Sunday, when we came, we meditated on Jesus' baptism. The voice from heaven, the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." The Father revealed his Son to this world. He is my Son. You have to listen to him. That same voice came later at the Transfiguration Mount. Today, John the Baptist introduces Jesus to his people. In fact, he reveals who Jesus is, and he says beautifully, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." If we ask John the Baptist, what would be your display picture on your WhatsApp? He would say, "My display picture would be pointing finger at Jesus, and the caption is, 'Behold the Lamb of God.'" That is his display picture. Now, John's ministry reached far and wide. A big number of people came to him to be baptized. He did not go searching for people, but people came in large number to be baptized by him. His ministry is a ministry of repentance. He brought a moment of repentance. People were filled with enthusiasm. People were filled with expectation because something is happening in the entire region. So they were thinking high about John. They thought this person could be our Messiah. When they asked this, John refused. "No, I'm not the Messiah." When they asked him, "Are you Elijah?" He said, "No." "Are you the prophet?" He said, "No." But he kept saying that there's one who is coming after me. He is greater than me. "I am baptizing you only with water. The one who comes after me will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." He says, "I am not even worthy to untie his shoes." He is coming after me, but he is before me. That's how he introduced Jesus. I don't think he met Jesus before, though they are cousins. John himself says, "I have never known him, but when I baptized him, I saw the Holy Spirit descending on him, and I was told that whoever the Spirit comes and descends, he is the Lamb of God." So when he baptized Jesus, that's where the realization came, and he now understood who Jesus is. Jesus is the Lamb of God. So the next day, he saw Jesus coming towards him. He openly said, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He called Jesus the Lamb of God. In our communion liturgy, we use this song, "Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, grant us peace," which we call it Agnus Dei. Agnus Dei means, Agnus means, this is the Latin words, Lamb of God. Dei is God, Agnus, Lamb. Why John is using the word Lamb of God? I was looking at the internet because in some of this soft skill training, they would ask you to find which animal you represent. What animal would you be and why? So I looked at the internet and I found there are 30 animals which are being represented by people. People say that I represent that. Like lion comes very common, hogs come quite often, even they talk about birds, bee comes quite often, ant comes as well, 30 different species. But nowhere I could see lamb, nobody. Why nobody is identifying themselves with lamb? Is it because it's mild, gentle, meek, not a strong animal? John says he is the Lamb of God. There are three things that I thought I would bring for our meditation. The entire Old Testament, as well as New Testament, talks about the imagery, the lamb. So I thought I will bring only three. Of course, we know the Exodus story. In the Exodus story, lamb played a major role. Lamb was a year old lamb was killed, and the blood of the lamb was pasted on the doorsteps of everyone's house. Who believed, they just put the blood on their doorposts, and the angel of death did not enter the house, and the people who had blood on their doorposts, they were saved. And that night, big change took place, and we know that because of that Passover meal, they were rescued from the slavery of Egypt. So the lamb is an important imagery in the Old Testament. They were saved from death. They were saved and delivered from the house of slavery. In the temple worship, sacrifice plays an important role. If you read Exodus, Moses has given this instruction which the Israelites followed. In the temple worship, every morning and every evening, they have to sacrifice one lamb. In fact, every day they have to sacrifice two lambs, one in the morning and one in the evening. Why do they do that? This, they do it as a sin offering, to offer the sacrifices so that their sins can be forgiven. Now, I'll read that verse a little later. This is a continual offering. Every morning and every evening they have to offer this sacrifice. Even on Sabbath, they have to offer this sacrifice. When it comes on Sabbath, they have to offer two lambs in the morning and two lambs in the evening. In fact, this sacrifice is the foundation of their worship in the temple. This is the foundation of their worship. All other sacrifices come top of it. Or any other festival comes top of it. This is the foundation of their worship in the temple. And God meets them there. Let me read Exodus chapter 29, verse 42. It shall be a regular burnt offerings throughout your generations at the entrance of the tent of meeting before the Lord, where I will meet with you to speak to you there. God comes to people at that sacrifice. God meets with his people at that sacrifice. It's a perpetual, continual, unceasing. This, they have to do it continuously. God meets with his people. Now, John says, "Hear the Lamb of God who came to take away the sin of the world." He connects very beautifully the Old Testament imagery on Jesus. The third one that I want to bring is from the Isaiah chapter 53. This is a servant song, which is the servant is offering himself to be a sacrifice. You can read it in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter. Jesus is like this lamb led to the slaughter. He submits himself so that he can be sacrificed. On the baptism of Jesus, that's what we meditated last Sunday. When Jesus walked inside the water to be baptized, he presented himself a true sacrifice, a blameless sacrifice to the priest. Who is the priest? John the Baptist is from the priestly clan. And Jesus is submitting himself to that priest. And now John says, "I know for sure that he is the Lamb of God. Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." That's the foundation of our worship now. Our worship now. What is the foundation of our worship? The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We have come to worship the Lamb. We have come to take part with the Lamb, of the Lamb. He set his, he broke his flesh for us. He shed his blood for us. So we have come to take part. We have come to receive his mercy. Lamb of God, have mercy on us. We have come to receive his mercy. We have come to receive his peace and share the peace. So that's our foundation. Foundation of our worship is to worship the Lamb. You know, we have got a small picture there. Lamb of God is presented to us. And when he presents in there, the Father meets us. God meets us. Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Sin of the world. It is presented in the singular form. Sin of the world, not sins of the world. This Sin is not about the wrongdoing that the sins that we commit. Of course, the sins that we commit is all because we are under the influence of sin. But this sin, I think, is understood as a power, a slave master, a tyrant. This sin is a tyrant. It is on all the human race. David, that's the reason very beautifully says in Psalm 51, "Indeed, I was born guilty, a sinner, when my mother conceived me." We are under this influence of sin. We are under the sin. Sin is like a deadly virus that infected us, the human race. The deadly virus that infected the computer. We are all like computers. The sin has infected us. But now Jesus has come to deal with the root problem of this humanity. He has come so that this foundation, this root issue can be dealt with. Behold the Lamb of God. So when we Christians come together to worship together, we are not coming for anyone else. We are coming for the Lord. We are coming to meet with the Lord. We are coming to celebrate the sacrifice that he did for us. We are coming to enjoy his presence. We are coming to receive the peace and pass on the peace. The second part of my meditation is on John the Baptist introduced Jesus again on the other day to two of his disciples. What happens is that John the Baptist was standing with his two disciples. Again, they saw Jesus walk by, and then he told his two disciples, "Hear the Lamb of God." Both of the disciples started following Jesus. John did not have a problem. He is willing to lose. "You have been my disciples, but now you have to follow him. Hear the Lamb of God." He is willing to lose. He wants people to go to him. That's the reason he points finger at Jesus. He says, "Let me stoop down so that Christ can be seen." He says, "Let him increase, I may decrease." That is John's job. And that is the job of all preachers or all evangelists, all God's workers. "Let me decrease and let him increase. Let me stoop down so that he can be seen. I may lose, but people have to go to him." So these two people followed him. After following Jesus for some distance, Jesus turned back and asked, "What are you looking for?" What are you looking for? These are the first words of Jesus in John's gospel. First words of Jesus. What are you looking for? Now, these two disciples left John following Jesus, and Jesus knew that these people are coming behind him. He is not talking about anything else. He is not giving them any kind of a threat or any kind of a pressure, but he's simply asking them, "What are you looking for? What are you looking for?" He is not revealing his plans to them, saying that, "Oh, now you are my disciples, you are going to follow me. You know that following me is going to be very difficult. You know, this is the plan, I'm going to be crucified." No, Jesus is simply asking them, "What are you looking for?" That's the question comes to all of us. As soon as we hear, heard Jesus is the Lamb of God, he is asking, what are you looking for? What are you looking for? Are you looking for something else? Are you truly wanting to know him? What are you looking for? And they said, where are you staying? That's the way they responded. Where are you staying? Are they asking about Jesus' home address? Are they asking about where do you stay so that we can come and stay with you? Your physical location? Are they asking that? I don't think so. They are saying that we are looking for you. We want to know where to come. We want to be with you. How can we be with you? How can we be with you? And Jesus says, come and see. You come and see. I'm an open book. There is nothing which is secret here. Everything is open. Come and see. You learn by yourself. You see by yourself. You understand by yourself. You experience by yourself. Come and see. John the Baptist is not important. No preacher, no evangelist. No one is so important. No one is important. Jesus is important, and he says, come and experience, come and see, come and see. I am available. It is up to you. It's a plain invitation, no compulsion, no force. Some of us, we think that God will apply some kind of a force to draw us to himself. I don't think so. He gives you open invitation, come and see. He is not giving you any kind of a pressure, or he doesn't intimidate. He simply says, I am available, come and see. He's very soft, gentle, polite. He says, come and see. There are people who think that, I will stay away. Jesus will somehow put me on a corner so that I will believe in him. I will trust in him. I don't think that is the way Jesus works. Jesus says, come and see. The truth is standing before you. And he says, come and see. This is the opportune time. Some of us may think that No, the one who was crucified along with Jesus, the thief got a chance at the last moment. I will wait for until that time. People may say that, no, I want to enjoy the pleasures of this world. I will wait until the last time to receive him. That's quite risky. That's quite risky because you may not be granted another opportunity. That is also not good because you are missing the great privilege of being God's children now. Why you had to wait for another 5 years, 10 years to embrace him? Now you have the great privilege of being the children of God. Come and see is the invitation. We have got enough information about Jesus. Someone very beautifully said, it is not what you know. It is what you know. It is what you do with what you know makes the difference. Let me say it again. It is not what you know. It is what you do with what you know makes the difference. I'll finish with this illustration. J.C. Massey, a Baptist minister, very powerful minister in the mid-20th century from America, good author, he told a true incident. One of his friends went to meet with a distinguished scholar to make an interview. So he had to traveled quite a bit of a distance, and he reached to this scholar. So when he arrived, the scholar received him cordially, and he took him to his study room. A great scholar, he went inside with him to that study room. He saw books everywhere in that room. He was totally taken aback. And he asked this first question, "Professor, I noticed that the walls of your study room are lined with books from the ceiling to the floor. No doubt you read them all. I know you have written books, traveled extensively. You met with the wisest men and women in the world. Tell me, of all you have learned, what is one thing most worth knowing? What is one thing that you have learned from all your experiences and all your readings?" He said, "I will give you two. The first is that I am a great sinner. The second is that Jesus Christ is a great Savior. These are the two important things we should know. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world is with us." May God help us to come and know him so that we continue to be a blessing for this world. God bless us all. Amen.